At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Okay, so Adam, you're saying that you want me to describe the PGA and LIV Golf as two high school queen bees with major attitude problems and like way too much drama?
No, I did not ask you that.
Okay, I'll try my best. So the PGA is like the long-standing class president. Been running the school for years. Super into the rules, obsessed with Spirit Week, and really judges anybody who doesn't play golf. She's all about tradition. She thinks that she's better than everyone because she helped build the school's reputation and makes really passive-aggressive announcements at assemblies. Girl, like, transferred in with her daddy's money to this private school. Is it blood money? No one knows. Wait, everyone knows? It's public information that it's blood money? That's crazy. PGA, she has a designer backpack sitting there. Like, what are you doing, LIV Golf? You don't even go here, okay? You can't just buy your way to popularity with your daddy's blood. It is public blood money.
All just sorry, standing just by checking. Looking
yeah,
back
it's
and
public.
Forth.
Everyone like, knows okay, about well, I guess we'll see how this goes. Anyway, one's about the rules and the other one's all about the vibes and the blood money, and they cannot stop throwing shade at each other. And prom, prom is going to be messy.
I have lost the plot here.
Yeah, well, that's how I felt watching Happy Gilmore 2. Welcome to the HBO boys.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, sure.
46.7 million views on Netflix on its opening weekend.
Yeah, man, did you expect less?
No. I expected it to break every Netflix record, and it did. It was the biggest opening weekend on Netflix ever, for sure. 91.9 million minutes of it watched in the first weekend.
God, that's wild.
Okay, like, it had a $30 million budget. The original Happy Gilmore had 12. And by the way, when the original Happy Gilmore was in theaters, it made 41 mil. This, obviously, you can't quantify it like that because streaming, but biggest movie ever on Netflix, pretty quantifiable.
Yeah, that's actually insane. But then again, you know, they always say never bet against James Cameron. Never bet against Adam Sandler, because it doesn't matter what he does, it seems to be incredibly popular, even if it's incredibly bad.
The boy shits out hits. What you gonna do?
But here's the thing, like, I agree this movie was wild all over the place. I still enjoyed a majority of it, but I don't think it deserves like the "this movie is actually good" moniker. I think it's just, you know.
Sure. Listen, there are a lot of people who, when asked about this movie, because a lot of people are talking about it, because again, a lot of people watched it.
Yeah.
That are gonna say, like, it wasn't good, but I liked watching it.
For sure. It is a turn your brain off movie.
It's gonna be a common theme here. And then there are gonna be people who are like, it was hilarious. It was the funniest movie I've seen this year, and it was better than the first one. And those people are wrong.
That is wrong a million times wrong. The first one is so wholesome and hits every little funny bone, honestly, it does. Every little nuance to that made that movie hilarious, it hit a little bit on this one, but God, I mean, it's so hard to compare them now.
Yeah, I mean, the Happy Gilmore 1 came at a time where Adam Sandler was just making comedy classics back to back to back.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I think his 90s, like, you know, Billy Madison at the forefront of it.
Yeah,
but obviously Happy Gilmore as well, which then allowed him to do a movie like Click, which some people really hate, but I think is great. I love that movie.
That's a great movie.
And I know I'm missing a few here too. So
the like, wedding singer.
Wedding singer, right? Exactly.
That was in there. Yeah, right. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just he was incredibly charming and he was making movies that had one thing in common throughout them, which is they were really funny, but the funny was based off like an emotional center that it laid out in the beginning and then paid off in the third act in a way that was interesting and funny at the same time. That's exactly how I would describe like the plot of Billy Madison. It's also the way I would describe the plot of Happy Gilmore.
Oh, yeah.
The problem is with Happy Gilmore, too, is that we're no longer in an underdog story. He rose to the top. He was apparently winning tournaments at the same time. Like, if the only the person who should be most pissed off about this movie is Tiger Woods, because he's just like, so what you're saying is that you are retroactively giving Happy Gilmore tournaments that I won? Nah, dude. No.
Yeah, no, 100%.
But this movie, and I think we should do non-spoilers and then we go spoil these, but like,
sure.
This movie's emotional premise at the beginning was like really weird, really shallow, and happened in the first 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And there is a part of me that would have loved to see the version of this movie where the actor who played Chubbs didn't pass away, sadly, prior to it.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a bunch of reports that this movie changed really big when Chubbs couldn't be in it anymore. Yeah. And I just wonder, like, you know, that thing that happens in the first 10 minutes that's that happens, and not 10 minutes, the first 2 minutes.
Yeah, it was really, really fast.
And I was like, are you real? This is what you're going to be doing? Like, if that happened in the version with Chubbs, I just don't know, but I wish we could know.
Yeah, I remember browsing on the threads, and you can follow us and like us and interact with me on threads if you'd like. I was on threads and reading about it because I saw it a couple days after it came out, and people were like, I can't believe they did that in the first two scenes. And people were like, really? Like, they did a thing that was like, that had real weight to it.
Yeah, listen, I always complain that movies aren't taking big enough swings. And for it being Happy pun. Gilmore and big swings are sort of like the whole thing of, you know, yeah. How he's a golfer. Yeah. And he's swinging he was a hockey player, Adam. And so sometimes he swings a hockey stick because he was a hockey player and all of his sons are hockey players. Or they want to be. Anyway, don't worry about it. So I just, you know, I didn't like it. And the movie, that is. But I went in with open arms and wide eyes because I really like the director. The director was Kyle Nowacek, which Tim Herlihy, I believe, like the guy who wrote it with Adam Sandler. In fact, he co-wrote Billy Madison, Happy Gilmore, Wedding Singer, Waterboy, Big Daddy, and Pixels. So he's basically like in a duo with Adam Sandler. And obviously still around writing this one with Adam Sandler, but they kind of got a new director into their Happy Madison world, that being Kyle Nowacek of Workaholics. He was the director of all the Workaholics stuff, and he was also in the show as their drug dealer. Do you remember that guy?
I do. Vaguely.
Oh, he was an amazing part of that show. He's so, so good in it.
To be fair, I kind of was very sporadic on that show. It wasn't like a full watch through.
Sad. You should.
I'm sorry.
But anyway, I think we just go to the advertisements quick and then come back and then do a spoiler.
Spoiler. Very spoilery.
What if everything you've been taught about happiness is wrong? We chase careers, approval, more stuff, hoping it'll finally make us feel fulfilled, but it never sticks. What if happiness isn't out there, but already inside you, just waiting to be unlocked? Discover the book, The Happiness Experiment. Every person has a unique happiness type, and when you understand yours, everything shifts. You'll stop chasing and start creating joy on your own terms. Discover your happiness type with a free happiness type assessment. Go to myhappinesstype.com. That's myhappinesstype.com. It takes just a minute and it might change your life. Then grab your copy of The Happiness Experiment at Books A Million. This isn't just a book. It's a practical framework, a journey inward. It's a tool to help you reconnect with the happiness that's been waiting inside you all along. Pick up the Happiness Experiment and start your happiness experiment today.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
The reaction to this movie. So let's do that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
After winning the first tour championship in 1996, Happy Gilmore has a long and successful golf career. He wins five more championships. He has five children to match those championships with wife Virginia Vennett. But in the first 2 minutes, as we previously stated, he kills Virginia accidentally in 2014 when one of his drives hits her in the head.
You know, I heard rumors of this thing happening, that she was going to get offed, but I didn't know that it was going to be because of Happy Gilmore. I didn't know that he was going to do it. I thought that was an interesting choice, but makes sense for the rest of the movie, I guess.
Well, that's because it's at the beginning of the movie and it's a huge thing. So the rest of the movie has to sort of be about that.
Right.
But it just feels like sort of an easy out emotionally. Like, oh, how are we going to put a Happy Gilmore, a huge golfer who's won five championships, into an emotional pit? I guess we have to do something insane, like, I don't know, have him accidentally manslaughter his wife with a ball.
Now, I can see, like, her getting, like, dying the same way, but to have him do it is insane.
And by the way, Julie Bowen, a huge star in Modern Family, not in this movie all that much because she's murdered in the first 2 minutes.
Yeah, I'm wondering if, like, that was a little bit of a force because of her scheduling.
Yeah, I mean, maybe, although Modern Family isn't shooting anymore. I don't know what she's doing now, to be fair. Yeah. I'm not a subject matter expert on Julie Bowen's career, but
why
way,
not?
Yeah, good point. Happy feels devastated and then quits golf out of the guilt that he feels. And he soon becomes an alcoholic and he loses everything. And his car is getting repossessed, and then he fights the guy who is trying to repossess his car, and it just all goes really poorly and his life falls apart.
Yeah, exactly right. Not a great look for him. Super bummer. He's back to where he was at the beginning of the first movie.
Then we port forward 11 years. He's working at a Stop and Shop, and he lives with his only daughter. Her name is Vienna. And she's played by Adam Sandler's actual daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And then his four sons, Gordy, Wayne, Bobby, and Terry, all named after hockey players. And they've moved out, the boys have, to like help support their father and sister. Vienna wants to go to dance school, and her dance teacher recommends she goes to an extra expensive one. And then, Happy Gilmore is like, how am I going to get that $75,000, that yearly cost to put her in school? Maybe I got to get back in the game.
Also, the dance teacher is Adam Sandler's real wife, too.
Listen, the man has put the same human beings in every movie he's ever been in. He wasn't going to not do it this time.
Yeah, no, for sure. But what I did like, the cast that I found very surprising, was his son Gordy was MJF, the professional wrestler from AEW. I thought that was fun.
Oh, I love that for him.
Yeah. There's a ton of cameos in this movie, which I'm sure we'll talk about. Tons of cameos. Too many, honestly.
Yeah, too many, I'd say. Anyway, a CEO of Maxi Energy Drink, played by Benny Safdie, one of the co-directors of Uncut Gems, and like a brilliant movie guy. So he is the CEO of Maxi Energy Drink, and he's just like, you gotta come play my version of golf. It's wacky and shit. But instead, he doesn't. He just goes and tries to play regular golf. Also, John Daly is living in his basement, I guess.
Yeah, the actual John Daly, which I love this. They call him Uncle John Daly or something.
Yeah.
But they call him his full name.
My favorite cameo in the movie, I think John Daly is a modern day folk hero. The guy is just like lighting bogues and drinking beers and playing without his shoes, and he gets course records. I love that guy. He should be put on Mount Rushmore. Like, take one of the presidents off, pick one, I don't care, and put John Daly up there.
And also a cameo that I really loved. It was incredibly quick, but it happened a few times, was Steve Buscemi.
I know. Oh, Steve Buscemi also in this movie. Yeah.
Oh, I loved his little cameo as the like terrible neighbor.
Just peeing on stuff.
Yeah.
And then we get the scene where Happy goes to try to play golf again, but he's going incognito, and he plays with a trio, and that being Margaret Qualley, Eric Andre, and Martin Herlihy. By the way, Tim Herlihy, his son, part of who Please Don't Destroy at Saturday Night Live, but also, like, you know, Tim Herlihy, the co-writer of this movie's son.
Yeah, right. And I was kind of surprised to see Margaret Qualley in this too.
Yeah.
It's just like, I kind of expected Eric Andre, but yeah, she was surprising to see. I was like, oh shoot. I had read a list of a few of the cameos and they did not make that list that I read. So it was
no because they're really not cameos. They had a lot of scene
That's
to do.
True.
So they were
That's
just actors true. In the movie. And I, for a movie that overall I did not fully enjoy, I liked this scene personally. I don't know. Yeah. It sort of just worked for me.
Yeah, I think the first like half to three quarters of the movie, I was very okay with. There's some disjointed stuff, but like I was laughing. Like I was out loud laughing to a bunch of jokes that were landing and like, you know, very visual comedy. And I think they did nail some of it, but then it just went off the rails, dude.
At the end of him playing the round with these folks, he gets so wasted that he crashes a golf cart into another golf cart and has to go to an alcohol treatment program where he meets Ben Stiller, who's the treatment program's leader, who, as we might recall, was mistreating Happy Gilmore's grandmother, aka his favorite person in the world. So immediate, like, okay, we got Ben Stiller here. I feel as though Happy Gilmore at some point in this movie is going to punch him in the mouth.
Mr. Gilmore.
Yeah. I mean, again, I saw Ben Stiller come on screen. I was like, okay. Like the golfing scene prior and this scene back to back, I was looking up. By the way, though, still feeling pretty bad about Julie Bowen dying in the first 2 seconds.
Of course. Of course.
And then as Happy Gilmore is getting back into the sport, he is, there's a few like montages of him trying to get better. He eventually plays in an actual match where he meets a bunch of people, including actual golfers, including Rory McIlroy, Bryson DeChambeau, Brooks Koepka, Scottie Scheffler, the number one golfer in the world right now, Scottie Scheffler, is in this movie. That's pretty cool. Also, weirdly, Haley cool. Joe Osment.
He essentially played who ended up being the villain, I guess, of the movie,
right? And we all kind of just find out that these maxi golfers can actually hit it really far. At this point, we don't know why. By the way, also, this was all filmed before Haley Joel Osment got wasted and then got arrested with like cocaine in his pocket on a mountain.
What? That happened?
Yeah, man. It's great.
Oh,
right,
boy.
Right now.
Oh,
type
boy.
In Haley Joel Osment cocaine.
Oh,
Haley Joel Osment
boy.
Ordered to attend AA after ski resort incident using the word Nazi and an anti-Semitic slur and having cocaine on him. So yeah, he's not doing great.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Isn't that fun?
Man,
it's not fun.
But
as I was watching this movie, I was like, boy, like, it's a good thing. I guess more people don't know about that.
Well, if he's getting residuals from this movie, it might help his bail.
yeah. He needs back end real bad right now because he was being a real bad boy.
Holy moly. No, I didn't hear that. That's funny.
And then through one way or another, we also get Shooter McGavin back. Now,
Yeah.
When Christopher McDonald, Shooter McGavin, walks back on screen, I'm also sort of elated. He was one of my favorite characters from the first one. I'm glad that he's back. Again, this is a middle of a movie that got set up really weirdly and really poorly. Yeah. But so far, it's like, in my opinion, hitting its stride.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, it honestly, the whole movie was generally fine until this damn maxi golf shit where it just went so off the rails. I just became about unwashable.
You're talking about the third act. You're just talking about the third act, which,
yes.
So
I
let's
know,
just do this quickly where like talk about the rest of the cast. We have Bad Bunny.
Yeah.
I really liked Bad Bunny in this movie. Yep.
I liked him a lot. And I, you know, he's shown his face a lot in WWE recently, and I like never understood the hype. And I mean, he was fine in ring and doing the thing he was doing on the show, but I didn't really like him. I thought he was kind of annoying, but I liked him a lot in this movie. I thought he was great.
He is really great in the Shrek sketch of Please Don't Destroy that Martin Hurley, he is in on SNL. Mm. I love that sketch and him in it. He's also great in, he performed live with The Lonely Island at the 50th SNL anniversary the night before. They did a medley of Lonely Island songs, and he's in that performance too. He just is very naturally funny dude. It just and I'm glad he's in it. By the way, also from SNL in this movie is, what's his name? Marcelo Hernandez, who plays Bad Bunny's cousin. Also great. Let's just name down a few of these other people who are in this movie. Kevin Nealon, great. Didn't overstay his welcome. Really liked when he was on screen.
Sure. Ken Jennings.
Sure. Right. Eminem. Eminem's part in this movie. He got eaten by an alligator.
He sure did.
I don't know. I liked that part. I thought it was weird.
It was weird, and it was, I don't know. It hit that weird line of, it's funny, like what's happening is funny, but it's done so egregiously that I'm like, okay.
Oh, in any other movie, it would be pulled out. Those scenes would be pulled out
because for sure.
They stopped the movie dead weirdly in the middle of it.
Yeah.
And the pacing gets murdered because of it. But Eminem did these scenes, so you got to put them in.
Oh, yeah, I've got 1,000%.
We have Reggie Bush. We have Nick Swartzen. Travis Kelce is all over this movie. Yep. Only had one day of shooting.
It's great. John Lovett was in it again. Plus, Dennis Dugan, who played who played the Doug Thompson. He was great.
Rob Schneider, Robert Smigel. Ricky Fowler. So many more, like literally 20 other professional golfers. Stephen A. Smith, Chris Berman. Sean
Kevin
Evans.
Kevin Nealon came back.
Andrew Santino,
Sean Evans.
Bobby Lee.
That's right. Yeah.
Fucking Guy Fieri.
Which I... when Guy Fieri showed up, I'm like, why? Why is he in this?
Point being, every human being Adam Sandler has ever met is in this movie.
Yeah, pretty much. This is what it felt like, for sure.
And so all of that is happening. It's so extra. And then we get to the third act. And at this point, I'm like kind of forgiving the movie for the first act, which I thought was a little off the rails because it had a really solid second act. And then, as you said, goes into the third act, which... you already know, if you're a normal human being, how it's going to end. This movie is going to end with Happy Gilmore hitting a shot, because that's how golf movies end, when we like the guy who's supposed to be good at the golf.
Of course.
But the whole third act, the pacing, like I said, because of like the Eminem scene is not the only culprit. There are a few of them that, because people did scenes, they're in there. The pacing of it is terrible. It takes forever. It really weirdly overstays its welcome. And I think the entire conceit of the bad guy, the Benny Safdie playing Frank Manatee, I don't think Frank Manatee is a good bad guy. I don't think he lives up to Shooter McGavin at all.
No.
The weird, like, oh, I have bad breath. That's the through line of his entire joke. And also, I hate the way he looks. I just think him and using Maxi, I understand like the live versus PGA version of reality that they're trying to create there. I mean, that whole drama of live versus PGA literally happened as they were writing this movie. And they were like, oh, yeah, we could just do that. And then they do, but in a weird, wacky way. like a version of Jackass way of, you know, the Professional Golf Association and the Saudi Live League's drama in fake life now. I don't know. Just.
Yeah. I think what did it for me is like, okay, I know we're watching a movie. It's a funny movie. It's meant to be entertainment. But the first movie was kind of defined in reality to a degree. Like, what was happening in the movie? Okay, yep, I could see this being real. I can kind of like relate to it to some degree. This maxi golf thing where they got surgical procedures to remove a muscle to make them swing farther, and they have like an awkward CGI version of them swinging the club, and then the whole ending tournament sequence where there's like explosions and modified golf carts and like just snow holes and just shit happening. I was like, what is going? I just lost it so much. I was overstimulated and it just didn't, it absolutely flubbed the end, I think. But then it, you know, the last couple of scenes brought it back for me, but that whole maxi golf thing, I could have like, please do something different. I don't know.
What was your favorite few parts of Happy Gilmore 1? Like, what comes to mind immediately when you think Happy Gilmore 1? What scenes?
The first scenes that come to mind are when he's at the putt-putt golf with Chubbs learning how to putt.
Yep, exactly.
Like, I think that, like, the tap it in. Like, the first movie's so damn quotable, man. Like,
get in your home. Why don't you want to get in your home?
Get in your home. Go home, ball. Yeah, like... So the putt-putt golf with Chubbs, I think the soundtrack was really good for the first one. The Happy Place, which I did love that they brought back like scenes from the first movie as like, you know, their flashbacks. I did like that they incorporated it. I liked that they did the Happy Place again and she came back as like in his dream, his happy place, and it like described like you need a new happy place and you know, one that's appropriate with his age. I think that was pretty funny.
The
first movie had just these really, really memorable scenes, and I think the only scene that I really like when I think of the second movie immediately pops in my head is when he's golfing with Eric Andre and Margaret Qualley and the other guy. Like that scene is what I remember. Guy. Yeah, I don't remember his name.
Remember when he hits the ball and he hits the person? In fact, they show it in the second movie and the person falls out of a second story window.
Oh, yeah, that's with Will Sasso. Will Sasso was in that scene.
What a weird thing they did in the second movie where sometimes they just played scenes for the first movie.
I agree that, yeah, just without any context, and it was just like as he was describing something, they played the scene was weird. But I liked when they used it as a very intentional flashback.
Yeah, I don't. It just kind of felt like they were being so, and I don't think this was their intent, but they were being like weirdly condescending to their audience. Like every 2 seconds they would show something or throw in another cameo and just be like, these guys have 0% attention spans. They want to be scrolling on this, or they would be scrolling up on this movie if they had the chance. So every 3 seconds, let's put in a cameo or just like, oh man, a cool part of the first movie. Oh, I love that part of the first movie. Thank God I'm watching it in the second movie again.
Yeah. Like, I mean, there was so much fan service too here.
It feels like a version of Happy Gilmore that would be written for the people who are in Idiocracy. And you know what? based on the numbers, Adam.
Well,
looks like
it's funny.
You might be right.
Screen Rant gave it a 5 out of 10. Roger Ebert gave it a 3 out of 4. IMDb has it as a 6.2 out of 10, and then Google has it 77 out of 100.
I don't. I mean, on a 1 through 10 scale, yeah. I would give it like a 4. What would you do?
I think I'm dead center, man. I mean, it was really fun to watch. It had a lot wrong with it, but I still enjoyed watching it. Like, I enjoyed the time. I don't feel like I wasted my time. I knew when we were getting into something crazy and ridiculous. Thank God I didn't have to pay extra to see it. I wouldn't have seen this in the theaters, I don't think. But yeah, I think I'd give it a 5.
Adam going with a Switzerland 5.
I know. That's kind of my vibe.
Okay. Well, I look forward to more Switzerland vibes in the future.
Yeah, yeah. or do you? That's kind of boring, actually, think about it.
No, I do. I do, because I like when my friend, like, I like when the characters in my life are the characters I know them to be. You know what I mean? I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense to
you. But, I mean, you know, I think this movie could, like, I was prepared for it to be worse than it was, I think.
The low expectations.
Yeah, game. Like, I went into it saying this, like, it just, why even do it? You know, we're, what, 30 years later? Like, it just seems so weird that they read, like, when I heard that they announced it, I'm like, why, man? Why? The first one's so good, just leave it, you know?
Right. It's just one of those things that becomes, it's pretty straightforward. Like, I knew why. I just didn't want it. And it's not the same thing exactly.
No.
Like,
yeah, right.
It makes
right.
sense they made this, especially when I heard it was going to be on Netflix. If it was in theaters, I think it would be a bad idea.
Oh, but for sure.
Put it on people's screens and, you know, do a lot of marketing for 6 months about it.
Oh my God.
And then
so
also
much
put every like large athlete from the golf world and then a few from other worlds as well in the movie who are going to be doing free advertising for it too. And then put Bad Bunny, one of the biggest artists in the world, in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is going to get numbers,
I
mean, dude.
And also, I think they've loaded this cast because you know that people are going to say, did you see that he was in Happy Gilmore 2? Oh, no, I didn't catch it. And they'll rewatch it, you know, or they'll go seek it out to see the scene of the person that they like. So, I mean, I get it. I think it was. The first one, I've said this about so many other movies, the first one just like captured this lightning in a bottle, this perfect blend of like cameo appearances, laughter, story, runtime, and just the whole vibe of it, the era that it took place in, I think helped it a lot too, because you didn't have all this technology to lean on. You kind of had to do things practical, and you had to make a story that didn't involve, you know, genetically modified golfers, you know? So I think there's something to be said about keeping it simple.
Dennis Dugan, by the way, the original director of Happy Gilmore 1.
And he directed this one too?
No, he was just in it as Doug Thompson, the head of professional golf.
Oh.
Isn't that fun?
Wait. Really?
Yeah.
Who directed this one?
Kyle Newatcheck. I did a whole thing about it.
Oh, yes, that's right. You did say that at the beginning.
I'm glad you're.
Well, I was, you know, I was paying attention, but I was also like pulling everything up at the same time.
I appreciate that.
To be full disclosure.
I appreciate that.
And also another here's a pretty realistic. This is the first time I've actually agreed with Rotten Tomatoes. I do not like Rotten Tomatoes. I think it's a bad review site. But the tomato meter for critics, 62% certified fresh. Popcorn meter, audience meter, 67%. That's about where I'm landing. I'm right there with him.
Yeah. And all I have to say about that is you eat pieces of shit for breakfast.
pieces of the shit like you for breakfast.
You eat pieces of shit. Which, by the way, they just said again in the
movie. Yeah. I mean, there was a lot of rinse, wash, repeat here, but also, fan service was fine. It was entertaining.
Somebody's closer. See, that's a great line too.
Yeah.
You're going to
miss
it.
But don't say it exactly, man.
Jackass.
Yeah.
Was in here. Boban played him this time, 7'6" NBA player.
Oh, yeah. I did like how they paid homage to like the actors who passed away. Like Bob Barker had a grave and like they fought on top of Bob Barker's grave. Like, I don't know, just little things like that really hit well for me. But I think the overarching just end was bad.
Sure. It wasn't bad. By the way, just reading these off quick. The Price is Wrong, bitch. Have you learned how to putt? Mm-hmm. Did that go in? I wasn't watching. Did it go in? I didn't see it. Could you tell me if it went in? Like, you're going to die, clown? Like, so...
yeah, that's a great one.
There's just so many great lines in the first one. I knew it was never going to live up to it. But at the same time, you know. I'm arguing against a thing that the majority of the earth watched. What are you going to do?
Yeah. And you know, I saw somewhere, I was trying to find it again. People were saying that this was like better written than the Fantastic Four, better written than Superman. I'm like, no, what? Like, I didn't even see Superman, and I don't agree with you.
Are you sure those are like real people and not just?
Yes, it was. Articles? It was real. It was real, and there was thousands of comments on it. And he was like trying to defend how it was like rooted in nostalgia. It was wild.
I don't know, Adam. It seems like rage bait.
I mean, it probably was rage bait. Probably.
Okay.
But like he was like he was taking an immense amount of time to defend it.
Well, you know, trolls have to have a hobby. And by the way, you've been baited.
Yeah, probably. I mean, I didn't engage with it. I just happened to see it.
Yeah. But I like, didn't engage.
I didn't. No, I didn't.
I know. Well, I didn't
engage, Ryan.
Grizzly Adams did have a beard. Anyway, thank you for joining us to talk about Happy Gilmore 2. Adam, tell them where to find us on the internet.
Now your back's going to hurt because you just pulled landscaping duty. Yes, you can find us all on patreon.com/HBOBOIZ. From $1 or more a month, you can get all these episodes early, ad-free, and some exclusives here and there. Should we have time to do them, you also get your name read out at the end of every episode. So we'd like to thank our current patrons, Connor O'Dowd, Jamie Lochner, Fantastic Foreskins, Clementine Pennyfeather Best Name, Brent Ginn, Craig, John Jewers, Major Woody, Butter Nichols, Susan, Buffalo Pizzle, C. Fritz, and Cat's Pajamas 10. And thank you, Brent Ginn and Butter Nichols, for being our $5 a month tier patron. We appreciate you and all of you who donate to us and allow us to do this fun thing that we do. I also like that people are actually changing their name to funny things, and it's more than one person. You know who you are. Please also follow us on our socials.
Yeah, you do, dude.
Please follow us on our socials at the HBO Boys Pod or the HBO Boys Podcast, Threads, Instagram, TikTok. I'm active over there. Comment, like, subscribe, interact with me. It's a fun time. I actually, like I said, I find a lot of like movie information and like current event stuff on Threads. It's a pretty solid platform. If you've never used it before, highly recommend. And if you do use it, follow us. It's pretty cool.
Are you on their marketing team?
No, but I should be, right?
I guess.
Nice. Yeah.
If you want to watch K-pop Demon Hunters or
what?
K-pop Demon Hunters, dude. It's the number one movie on Netflix in front of, you guessed it, Happy Gilmore 2.
Never heard of it.
Okay.
I've never heard of it. Tell me more.
Oh, their fans may know them as pop stars, but the members of Huntrix are more than that. They're powerful warriors using their music to save the world.
Mm. Jesus Christ.
The animation looks pretty sick. Anyway, thanks for joining us here. We're still discussing what we're going to do next week. I think we should do K-pop Demon Hunters. But if you want to tell us to do something else, you can tell us through our private Discord. The way you get on there is the Patreon, which Adam said before, where you get these, you know... Did you say the earlier and ad-free thing?
Yeah, earlier and ad-free. This is pretty great.
Oh, sick. Okay, I was just making sure you said it.
What? Friends don't listen to Endless Love in the Dark?
Right.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.